Lord, my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I beg your pardon for my sins and the grace to spend this time of prayer fruitfully. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. It was before the festival of the Passover, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to pass from this world to the Father. He had always loved those who were his in the world, but now he showed how perfect his love was. They were at supper, and the devil had already put it into the mind of Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had put everything into his hands, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And he got up from table, removed his outer garment, and taking a towel, wrapped it round his waist. He then poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel he was wearing. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "At the moment you do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." "Never," said Peter. "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "If I do not wash you, you can have nothing in common with me." "Then, Lord," said Simon Peter, "not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus said, "No one who has taken a bath needs a washing. He is clean all over. You too are clean, though not all of you are." This is a very crucial point in our Lord's life, that we are preparing ourselves, our minds, our hearts, so that we can unite ourselves to Jesus and his priestly sentiments, because he is now going to offer the culminating sacrifice to carry out the will of his Father God by offering himself on the cross. But prior to that oblation of his upon the cross, an oblation of love, Lord, you carry out a rather strange ritual that surprises and even scandalizes your disciples. Because if one were to also look at the Passover meal, this washing of the feet is not part of the, we might say, the rite. Usually it's singing the psalms, the Father explains, gives the blessing, explains what it's all about, and then there are the wine, the four cups of wine that are required for the entire Passover meal, consuming the victim, the lamb. But then suddenly our Lord rises from the table as if to interrupt the whole meal and adds this gesture, the gesture of servitude, the gesture of being the last to become the first, the gesture of humility. But even though there is a note of seriousness to it, one can somehow read in between some humor in the conversation that ensues. Because again, Saint Peter is the one who wants to appear as if though he were in control and dominating the situation. And so he tells our Lord, "Lord, what are you doing? you're not going to wash my feet. And of course, and our Lord said, well, if that's the case, then you can have no part of me. Mm-hmm. As if to say, well, you don't belong to this group, or you don't belong to me. You cannot be my disciple. Of course, Peter, to somehow rectify that, would say, well, Lord, I mean, if that's the case, wash me, my hands, my feet, not only my feet, and everything else, wash me. And of course, that could have been said with some sense of humor, and the disciples also laughing at St. Peter, considering that once again, you have to rectify, you have to correct yourself. And of course, our Lord would say, well, no one who has taken a bath needs washing. So I know you all take a bath. So I just have to wash your feet because you're all clean. Of course, all of these, Lord, is not pointing alone to our physical cleanliness. But the washing of the feet implies the purity of the disciple's heart. Because without that purity, the disciple cannot preach the gospel of Christ, for which is symbolized by feet. We preach the gospel. We are sent by our Lord. And to be able to go where our Lord wants us to go, we have to move using our feet. And so pronouncing the gospel and the feet are always somehow connected. In fact, the psalm would say, how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim God's word. And yet, we can imagine the tense atmosphere of the moment. The Passover is a great feast. And yet, there's also the fact that as the Passover meal and its rite lingers, there is also anticipation and hunger, physical and spiritual. And then our Lord adds this gesture, washing his disciples' feet. But then when our Lord had washed their feet, the disciples, like Simon, would have remembered our Lord's words, he who wishes to be first among you must be your servant. Very often, Lord, we have this attitude like St. Peter to exclaim, you shall not wash my feet. In this context, and according to the roles, Peter is correct because we realize that the master should not wash the disciples' feet. But God has taken a further step. God wants to show his love even before Peter could demonstrate it in his words. God has become man. God has taken our nature. And indeed, by taking on our human nature, he has washed it clean. In this logic of the incarnation, God reveals to them and to us now in our prayer how God is going to work our redemption. And for us, I think it's very helpful to consider these words of St. Peter, you shall not wash my feet. And yet, our Lord prevails because he shows to us how he works in our hearts, in our lives. God chooses a different way. For this, the lesson that is afforded us is a phrase that is taken from a homily that struck Bishop Barron. And that priest in this homily says, let us ask for the grace to serve Christ in the others and allow others to serve Christ in us. That is really symbolic. When you see that the washing of the feet implies this precisely, to serve Christ and the others, as we now have been called by our Lord to wash one another's feet. And that is asking you, Lord, for the grace to serve you and the others, but likewise, the grace to allow others to serve Christ in us. This is not just me serving, but we have to support one another. And therefore, in the washing of the feet, Jesus takes on the role of example, but also hands on to his disciples the same task. What you have seen me do, do also likewise to one another. Christ washing our feet. This is really God's exclusive role. God, and only you, Lord, can forgive us of our sins. But since you have given us also the task to wash others, therefore, we as apostles, as priests, represent him in this servile mission of cleansing souls. See, that's our mission. And when our Lord has washed our feet and opened for us the path of our vocation, our apostolic mission, we are now sent, like the disciples, to wash other people's feet, helping them see, helping them walk, helping them talk, helping them listen and hear. And this is what it means to serve Christ in the others. And Jesus said something strong to St. Peter that we now apply to ourselves. If I do not wash your feet, you shall not have any part of me. What does it mean to have a part of Christ? It means that we must allow him to wash our feet. And once we are clean in grace, we ought to serve the others. That is, to bring out Christ in them. And that is what we hope to be, Lord, to be your instruments, to help others in their conversion. Even though we see our limitations, our weaknesses, our faults, our sins, and we can easily say, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be your apostle. But we know that this is the task given us, to serve the others. Notice the phrase, to serve the others. And how do we serve them? To bring Christ out in them. That is, to make them discover Christ in their lives. We're not going to teach them simply the norms, or to go to Mass, or to go to confession. And this goes back to what our Father and the Father says, to help them live a Christ-centered life. Our role is that, to bring out Christ in them. And we are instruments. We are just instruments. And we might think, oh, because this is my role, then I'm a better person, I'm more holy, I have more knowledge, more experience. But no. The task is being an instrument to bring Christ out in from them. And we serve others with a view of seeing Christ in them and serving Christ in them. That's why we remember what our Lord said to his disciples. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you visited me. I was naked, you clothed me. This is serving Christ in the others. But there is another side to this same coin that we have to allow others to serve Christ in us. And I believe, Lord, this is more difficult. This corresponds to the zeal of serving Christ in the others, which will only be genuine if we allow others to serve us and to love us. Remember what our Father would say. We truly love the others if we also know how to receive their love and affection in return. We are not a monopoly in serving or apostolate. We are not experts. We don't own formation. We don't own the gospel. So we are instruments. And so precisely, If we claim to want to love Christ and the others and serve Christ and the others, we must be open to the fact that others also can serve Christ in us and love Christ in us and through us. I say this is more difficult because sometimes we resist the love that others, the affection that others may render us. And we can wrongly consider this. No, I mean, I don't need to be served. I can do this on my own. I can do this by myself. I know how to do it. You know, sometimes we might think of a very big thing, but sometimes we feel a little, not irritated, but a little bothered, perhaps, when somebody says, "Would you like to say the Angelus?" I wish I was the one who said it. Well, we feel that way. When actually, you're going to say the prayer together, but we feel, you know, or would you like to say the rosary? Oh, I've said it already. Oh, would you like to go out together and take a walk? No, I can manage. I'll accompany you to buy things. No, I can manage. Why is this? Is it because we don't appreciate the other? We do. But sometimes there's something, that strangeness of a sense of autonomy that kicks in into all of us. Especially when we have that mindset of being formators, or that we have experience learning to receive the affection and the service of the others, the concern of the others for us, sometimes requires greater humility and perceptiveness that they are addressing Christ in us. They are loving Christ in us. They are serving Christ in us. And perhaps, they might help us to see Christ more in us, more than we realize, more than we can realize. And this is precisely embracing Christ in those that we may find more difficult to embrace. I was moved, and it personally also hit a mark in me when Bishop Barron was narrating a story when he shared about a lady, he doesn't say who this woman was, who was really very dedicated to her advocacy in the faith, helping a lot of people, advising, guiding, and totally given up to this thing, no? Without seeking any form of compensation or praise, and they're doing a lot of good. But one day, this woman was asked to help out another woman. And she was sharing with Bishop Barron why that help between the two of them did not work out too well. And then the woman was examining herself, and she said, maybe because it's efficiency, because usually I'm the one who would be the one giving the idea. But now here comes a woman giving me the ideas. So she said, it's probably because I'm used to making things run efficiently. That's why somehow when this woman stepped into it, I saw that she doesn't think and do things like I do. So I felt a little irritated or bothered by that. Then she did a deeper examination, and she said, also because I think that I always have to be the one doing things, serving the others, giving advice. So, of course, I'm just summarizing the story, no? But she says, I never realized that I have to allow others to serve Christ in me. And she made a prayer which struck me, which actually struck Bishop Barron, and when I read it, it struck me. He says, pray that I will now be able to allow Christ to call me to deeper love through this person. So, imagine, pray that I will now be able to allow Christ to call me to a deeper love through this person. Not because I will do the norm, not because I'll try mass, I'll mortify, I'll really do this, I'll work on this virtue. But no, God who knows how to bring us to a deeper love is using this person to bring that deeper love in me, to bring it about. Then she even refines her prayer. Or better yet, let Christ love me through this person. That's the harder one for me. So it's probably the better. A very sincere petition to God. It's demanding. Huh? Or better yet. Because here, what if the person, well, if the person were somebody I can get along with, fine. But what if the person were someone I cannot meet eye to eye with? We don't agree. We have different tastes. We have different backgrounds. And that's precisely the person that you, Lord, puts beside me to bring me to that deeper love. It's not going to be set by our standards. God knows how to sanctify us. Precisely this is more difficult. Because let Christ love me through this person. I have to see this person. Is Christ loving me? And I might resist it. And so when I receive a fraternal correction, who do I see? The person or Christ? When I work and perhaps my opinion or my suggestion is not honored, do I see Christ there loving me? There are many situations similar to this. And we can apply this same story to ourselves. Because our conversion is not so much simply as we know it to be from sin to grace, but from self to others, from self to Christ. The sin to grace is like math. Because we have to avoid sin. It's 1 + 1, very clear. But when Christ is calling us to a deeper love, it's not only don't lie, don't be angry, don't kill, don't steal. It's a deeper love, a deeper surrender of our will, of our intelligence, of our experience. That's why our Lord washed our feet. Because if we are going to be apostles, we're not going to bring knowledge to others. We're not going to bring entertainment to others. We want to bring Christ. And we have to ask ourselves, how do I strive to truly assimilate this gesture of our Lord who wants to wash my feet? But in our pride, we can tell our Lord, Lord, you cannot wash my feet. It's a wonderful consideration, but it has to be concretized in resolution. And we have to surrender ourselves to our Lord. We don't have to tell our Lord, like St. Peter, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands, my head. But, Lord, may I see you in this person I find difficult to get along with. And it might be somebody that we have been guiding for the longest time that doesn't seem to respond. Because we tell the person to struggle, to read this, to go to the sacraments. And you say, it's the same old story. You say, when will this person change? Well, are we seeking the change or are we seeking Christ? Who through this person is bringing about trust, patience, magnanimity, compassion in you and me. Or they say, why can't she change? Why can't he change? Why can't he realize this or that? Or do I see Christ precisely in that person? See, we have to be more delicate here. Or better yet, let Christ love me through this person. That person, how can I let Christ love me through that person when that person has so many defects? But God can choose to make use of the most unsuspecting instruments to communicate His love. And when we realize this, then we become like Saint Peter. We succumb to it. And we allow Jesus, go ahead, Lord, do what you have to do. Wash my feet. Purify me. Make me your instrument. And remove from my heart any form of sort of sense of spiritual privilege, or as someone said a while ago to me, spiritual brattiness. So, I mean, like being a brat in our spiritual life, no? We want always things our way, even if it's in a spiritual sense. It cannot be like that. Because God, our Father, who loves us, may have more beautiful, wonderful things in His mind, in His heart for us. And yet we cannot deny that in the heart of our Lord, what prayers may have crossed His heart and His mind as He washed the feet of each of His apostles. For Peter, and Thomas, for James, and John. And also what thoughts may have crossed the minds of the disciples as our Lord's most sacred hands washed their feet. Let us not be complicated. Let us be children before Jesus. So that, like children, we allow God to work without placing any obstacles. We do not know if Our Lady had witnessed the washing of the feet. We can somehow imagine that perhaps there was a greater probability of her seeing it, knowing that they were in the background. Perhaps the ones responsible for having prepared the Passover meal, the table, the ingredients. And maybe, like good women, they were somehow ocioso, no? They're eavesdropping and looking, what's happening? And of course, that must have created a scene. What is he doing? It must have moved Our Lady as well. And she pondered in her heart, in her motherly heart, what that gesture might have meant. And what could have come back to her mind and her heart were the words in which she said to God, Ecce ancilla Domini, let it be done to me according to your word. Let us learn from Our Lady's humility of placing ourselves entirely at the disposal of God and learning how to be apostles, apostles of Christ, so that we can bring Christ out of the others as we allow them to bring Christ out of us. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I beg your help in performing them. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.